What were you thinking about this morning on the way to the worship service? What were you thinking about on the way to the worship service? I know when I'm driving, and often I'm the one driving on Sunday morning, I'm thinking about traffic. You're thinking about maybe the craziness on Wilma Rudolph or Warfield Boulevard. But even then, we are able to multitask. Even then, the person who's driving and they're thinking about the traffic, even then we can think about other things. What are we thinking about? If we're in the passenger side of the car, what are we thinking about? We might be looking at something on our phone, or we might be having other conversations. What are we thinking about on the way to worship service? And that may not even be a question that might be on our radar, because we might be thinking, I don't start thinking about that till I get to the building. That might be our thinking. And of course, when we get here, we certainly need to be thinking about worship. But can that thought process begin before we even get to the building? Should it begin even before we get to the building? In the Old Testament, there's a body of scripture that, Lord willing, we're going to look at this morning and over the next few Sunday mornings here in the month of October. There's a body of scripture that is actually dedicated to thinking about worshiping God before we even get there. And I'm hoping over the next few Sunday mornings to inform us of that body of material, learn from it, and encourage us to be thinking about the God that we worship before we even get here to the building. The body of material that I speak of is what has commonly been known as the Psalms of Ascent. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 120, the Psalms of Ascent. What are we thinking about when we are coming to worship God? If we're the one doing the driving, we need to focus, obviously, on driving, but we can also be thinking about the God we worship. If we're in the passenger seat, we can be thinking about the God we worship. If there's children with us, we can say something to them on the way to the building. And the reason why this is so important is that often what we're thinking about before we come through the door back there, often that dictates what we're thinking about here. Our attitude before we come into the building often dictates our attitude while we're here. Think about that when you were in school. The attitude that you had before you took the test would often dictate how you took the test. The attitude that you had going to school often dictated how you acted during the school day. Our attitude before we actually get into something actually dictates after we get into that something. The Jews understood this very well. And there was actually a body of 15 shorter psalms that they would sing going up to the temple. Before the actual sacrifices started, before the actual Old Testament worship service at the temple started, they were thinking about worship before they got there. They were singing about worship before they got there. I'm hoping over the next few weeks there are 15 of these, Lord willing. I want to take 3 for each of the 5 Sundays in October. And I hope to spend some time that we will learn better this body of Psalms, so that when this month is over with, and maybe even before this month is over with, we'll be thinking, you know, I'm getting in that car to go up there to 290 Warfield Boulevard. I'm going to be thinking a little bit differently when I'm on I-24, when I'm on Rossview Road, when I'm on Warfield, when I'm on Wilma Rudolph. I'm hoping to change our thinking. And I tried to even do this because this lesson was on my mind. I tried to even do this morning with Sherry on the car on the way to the building this morning. We're going to see some amazing things here. Not only does our attitude reflect our action and conduct while we're here, but those of us who have been members of the church many years, just to be honest and blunt and frank about it, there have been services that we have been a part of, and we know about this, when we're here and there's someone we don't like, or there's some tense moment, or there's some problem, or there's some friction, or there's some issue. We've experienced that before. And we have to be thinking about worshiping God, and our attitudes and our actions have to be such. But there have been worship services, if we'll be honest, where there's been a problem, and it's affecting our worship. I don't know of anything like that present. I'm just saying, as we look back over our life, I'm sure all of us have experienced that. It's uncomfortable to talk about, and yet it happens. What can help that? What can help that is what we're thinking about as we're going up to worship. It's more than just, I'm putting my turn signal on, I'm braking, I'm speeding up, I'm stopping, I'm waiting for the light to turn green. It's more than that. It's more than, where am I going to go for lunch? Am I going to go to Casablanca? Or am I going to go to, Olive Garden? It's more than that. It's more than, did I record the Titans game or did I forget to record? It's more than thinking about, well, what's going to go on this afternoon? Or do I have some laundry that needs to get done? Or do I have this thing? It's more than that, brethren. When the Jews went up to worship the Lord, their minds were focused on God and worship, and they were even singing before they got to the singing. They were singing before they got to the singing. And I've been wanting to look at this body for some time, and Lord willing, we will be able to do that. Let's talk a little bit over the next few Sunday mornings about going up to worship and the lessons that we can learn from these Psalms of ascent. If you'll notice in your Bibles, if you'll turn to Psalm 120, if you're not there already, you'll notice the subheadings, a song of ascent, or something to that effect. The ascent means to go up or to ascend. And we're talking about 15 songs that have been traditionally understood by the Jews, the Ma'alot. The Ma'alot, to go up to ascend to Jerusalem for worship. Typically, it was applied to the three times out of the year where the Jews were to go. And you can read this in Exodus 34:23 and other Bible passages, the Passover, the Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. But often, it would be used at other times as well. Some have thought that it applied to the priests and the Levites, or the Israelites as a whole. Some think it applies to the three feasts, or all of the feasts. But either way, it's Jews thinking about worshiping God before they actually get to the temple. What are you thinking about on your way to the building? I know what Bob and Linda are thinking about, because Bob always tells me, well, I heard your radio program this morning, so I know what he's thinking about, what I just said on the radio program, and I appreciate them listening to that. That runs from 8:30 to 9, and if you want something to think about on the way to the service, if you're getting dressed or you're driving or somewhere between 8:30 and 9, that's something that would help us to focus our minds on spiritual things. And I'm certainly grateful for your feedback on that. But I know they listen to the radio program. But what are we thinking about when we're getting dressed and when we're combing our hair in the mirror and putting our clothes on? And getting breakfast and getting in the car. And what are we thinking about? The Jews had a regular set of songs that they sang to focus on God and that great God that we worship. These songs are shorter in nature, if you'll notice. There's an exception toward the end, but many of them are, 6 to 8 verses. Psalm 132 is a little bit longer. But they're shorter in nature. It'd be like turning in your songbook and singing 3 verses of a song. Just sing it. It was put to music. It was led by individuals who sang. They had notes and they had music. They had instruments under the Old Testament law. And they sang these songs. I believe that if we would do the same, and if we'll be aware of this particular body, and I hope that it will be something that we will return to on a regular basis, to read on a regular basis, I hope that it will instill in us, maybe starting next Sunday, to be thinking about, hey, I'm going up to worship. I'm going to put out of my mind right now where we're going to eat later and making that decision, and do I have laundry that's got to be done, and did I set the DVR and all of that. I'm going to put that type of thing out of my mind, and I'm going to focus on going up to worship. We're going to note, as we go through these psalms, the positive attitude that the Israelites had toward God, and understanding, we're going to learn some aspects of God, and we're going to learn some aspects of us as the worshiper. And what it's going to do to us is it's going to keep us from letting worship become stale and ritualistic and routine. So we're going to see in just a minute, even the Jews had the danger of letting worship just become this stale ritualistic routine. Even in Jesus' day, Jesus in Matthew 15 rebukes the Pharisees. He says, you praise me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Just going through the vain worship. We all have that danger before us, myself included, to just 3 songs and a prayer and a song and the Lord's Supper and the contribution and a sermon and an invitation and a closing song. Next Sunday, 2 songs and a prayer and a song and the Lord's Supper and the contribution and a sermon and the invitation. The next thing, you see, just sort of go through the, we can do it in neutral, right? Just put it in neutral and just. And these songs that were sung before getting to the temple kept the Israelite from going through the motion. And I believe it will help us to do the same. What do we think about when we're going to worship? The word ascent here traditionally was understood in a number of different ways, but it all leads to the same point. Some applied it to the long ascent that it would take to get to Jerusalem. It was on a mountain of Zion. It was high up in the air. You're literally ascending. And they weren't doing that in air-conditioned vehicles. They were walking, or they were on the back of a donkey, maybe. And there's going to be weather conditions that are going to be challenging. They don't have air-conditioned vehicles. There might be some robbers along the way. We know from the Old Testament that there were lions. There were lions. And there would be washed out areas. There might be flooded areas. But I'm on my way to worship God, and I'm singing. And nothing is going to deter me from getting there. I was reminded recently, being in Ghana, of how good our roads are. Boy, we come out of our house just about, and some of you might have some exceptions, but pretty much all of us are on these nice, smooth, paved roads all the way to Worthville Boulevard. And I was reminded recently that our brethren, man alive, some of them, they bogged down in these marshes and washouts and flooding and all kinds of terrible conditions. I mentioned some other things that are a little bit nastier. And they get right through that to get to the building. These Israelites, from time to time, are going to have challenges ascending up to Jerusalem. You ever walked up any kind of an incline for any length of time? Don't your legs start hurting? Calves and thighs. Yeah. And the older Israelites, they're going to have a little extra challenges, right? Right? But they're singing. And so I want us to think about these things. You know, it's easy for anybody at any time to allow worship, like God's people, when they came back from the Babylonian captivity, they hadn't been back that long, and already they had slumped into, oh, what a weariness it is. Malachi 1:13. The Psalms of Ascent will help us to keep from letting that be a part of our life. It will not be a weariness worship. It'll be a wonderful worship. And I use the word wonderful in its truest sense of Hebrews 12:28, that we worship God in reverence and awe. Awe. A-W-E. Wonder. Amazement. And if that has gotten lost on us week after week, I hope the Psalms of Ascent will help us to get that back. God is not looking for us simply to come in and take up some space in a pew. He's looking for us to come and truly worship Him. So this morning, let's look at Psalm 120, 121, and 122. And let's learn what we can be thinking about and should be thinking about even before we come to the building. It's not about the material things around us. It's not about what's on our phone. It's not about what's going on in the world. It should be a single-minded ascent to come up to worship God and what we will get and benefit from that. In Psalm 120, I'm going to give you three key words. I'm going to try to pick out one word to emphasize each of these psalms. The first one meaning deliverance. When we come to worship, we can be thinking about, this is a place where I can be to be delivered from those things in the world that are trying to hurt me and harm me. That's why I need to be here. In the world, no one is looking out for you. And the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But as a faithful Christian coming together with other Christians, we can be in a place out of the world where we can be delivered from those things that are trying to hurt us and harm us. Consider Psalm 120. And consider that as these Jews are going up to worship, they're singing, deliver my soul. Worship is a place from which we can be delivered. Consider, if you will, this morning, verse 1. In my distress I cried unto Jehovah, and He answered me. Worship is a place to cry in distress or trouble and be heard. We think sometimes because of the way the prayers are structured that they're very formal and they're very organized and the men stand up. But do you know that this is the place where you can cry out if you want to? You can cry out in distress. And even personally and privately, when the man is leading the prayer, you can cry out and be heard. 1 John 5, if we ask according to His will, He will hear us. Obviously, there's conditions that have to be met there, but we can cry out and be heard. Do you have any troubles or distresses? Raise your hand if you don't. We all need that. And this is the place where it can happen. That's why we need to be here. Out in the world, you're not going to get that. Young people, you're not going to get that. I'd rather be out on the lake this morning. I'd rather be out on the golf course this morning. These beautiful fall mornings that we're having where it's kind of cool now. Boy, it's the best time to be out on the golf course. Wow. Or be doing whatever. But we will miss the place where we can get help. Deliver my soul, O Jehovah, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. In verses 2 through 4, it's a place to be delivered from those people in the world that are deceitful. You don't have to worry about that here. I can go up and be at a place where I can be delivered from that. And one of the biggest deceits comes with the tongue. People who deceive and lie with the tongue. Deliver my soul, O Jehovah, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You ever worked with somebody who done that? You ever had a family member do that or someone else? I can be delivered from that. What shall be given unto thee, and what shall be done unto thee, thou deceitful tongue? The tongue is personified as a person. The answer to the question in verse 3 is found in verse 4. Here's what's going to happen to you, deceitful tongue. From God, you're going to get sharp arrows of the mighty or the Holy One with coals of juniper, your version might say, the broom tree. It was a wood that burned so hot and so hard that the flame was hotter and even charcoal was made from it. The ancient people made charcoal from it because it burned hot and hard. It'd be like a white oak today. God's going to punish that deceitful tongue. But I can be delivered from that. You get that all the time in the world, at work, school, other places. You get worldly deceit all the time. People lie all the time. From the top down. But I can go and cry to God and help me from this foolishness. And we often are the recipients of lies and deceits. And Lord, please help me with this. We need that. Look at verse 5. Worship is a place to be at peace from those in the world where there is war and turmoil. The psalmist moves from this idea of crying and being in distress and being heard and being delivered from the deceitful tongue. He moves to make this point. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. He's using an expression to describe places outside of Israel or Palestine. Meshech is up by the Black Sea. It's up there where you've been hearing about the Russia and Ukraine conflict. Just south of the Black Sea in modern day Turkey, in the New Testament time, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 1, it was called Cappadocia. Up in Meshech, and then down in Kedar, which is the northern part of Arabia. In other words, if I'm outside of Palestine to the north, and if I'm outside of Palestine to the south, I am dwelling among worldly people. I long for the day that I can go up to Jerusalem and worship God. And when I'm out there with these people, they are for war. Verse 6, my soul hath long had her dwelling place with him that hates peace. I'm with people. And again, I believe these are symbolic statements. Not that this man, although it's possible that this Jew was literally in these places. I think it's more along the lines of when I'm outside with people in the world, therefore, they hate peace. Verse 7, I'm for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. I'm not just talking about, brethren, physical battles, physical wars, although that's a part of it as well. We're hearing right now impending war over in Europe. We're hearing more of it. There are some that are for literal battles of the traditional sense, but also think about the war that is going on in people's lives. This is a place where we can come and be at peace. There's people that have wars going on inside their minds, inside their bodies. They're at war with themselves. They're at war with Christ. The devil has taken over so many people that there's a battle raging in the lives of many people. And they don't have peace. They don't have sin removed from their life, and they don't have peace. It's a place to come and be at peace. We can be a faithful Christian. We can have our sins washed away in baptism. We don't have to be at turmoil. Our marriages do not have to be at war. Parents and children do not have to be at war here. Friends and family, relatives. You know that Hatfield and McCoy thing? That still goes on. And I forget which one it was. Either the Hatfields or the McCoys. I forget which one. But one of them were supposed to be members of the church. It's a place to be at peace. What do we need to be thinking about when we come up to worship? We need to be thinking about it's a place to be delivered. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, deliver us from the evil one. We can be delivered from the devil. Paul said, deliver me from the body of sin, talking about the sin that was in him. And he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that he was delivered from that. We can be delivered from troubles and trials. God, Paul says, delivers us out of great trouble. And he will deliver, future tense. When we have a right relationship with God, and we come here each week to worship, this is where we get deliverance. Deliverance from bondage, Hebrews 2:15. That bondage of thinking about death. We don't have to be discouraged and distraught about death. All their lifetime subject to bondage, we can be reminded that we can be resurrected in Christ, delivered from temptation. I love Peter's statement, how the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Of course, we have to take that way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but he's there to deliver. We need to be thinking about deliverance. We need to be thinking about help. Turn with me to Psalm 121. When I come up to worship, I need to be thinking about this is the place where God can deliver me from these worldly things that I have to live in. Number two, this is the place, I'm going to a place where I can get God's help and protection. Worship is the place where I can get help from the Lord. I will lift up my eyes into the mountains. You see, I'm going up. I'm going to Jerusalem. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from Jehovah, or the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's who my help comes from. You need any help? I need help from time to time. Need any help with anything? There's all kinds of people in the world that need help with all kinds of things, but they're turning to the wrong people and things to get their help. Maybe drugs will help me. Nope. Maybe alcohol will help me. Nope. Maybe worldly ideas will help me. Nope. And look at verse 2. Who made heaven and earth. You mean to tell me, Genesis 1:1, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. You mean to tell me the one who made heaven and earth can't help you with your problems? Of course he can. He made heaven and earth. That's the point. And he can do all things. And it's a place to come to get help. There are young people who are reaching out for help. They're turning to the wrong things for that. And this is the place where they can get the help. And so I'm glad that our young people come here. But there are many, many young people who will not come and whose parents will not bring them. And I feel sorry for them. It's a place to be protected by the Lord. You might want to circle in your Bible how many times the word keep is used here. Keep or protect. He, God, will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God doesn't go to sleep and while he's dozing off somewhere forgets about you. He's always vigilant. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah will keep thee from all evil. He will keep thy soul. Jehovah will keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Do you get the idea that God can keep us and protect us? Yeah. What a great thought. On the way to services, I can get deliverance from all of this worldly stuff that I find myself in Meshach and Kedar, wherever I'm at, the deceitful tongue and all these worldly people. I can get help being delivered from that, and I can be protected. Parents, do you want your kids to be protected? Oh, yeah. We protect our kids at all costs. We don't want them getting sick. We don't want them getting hurt. We don't want them being bullied. We protect our kids, don't we? One of the greatest protections we can help give our kids is Jesus Christ. Protection from that evil one. I want you to notice something in Psalm 122 that's impressive. This help and this protection that comes from God, I want you to notice a few things. God is not bound by place or by circumstance or by time. I want you to underscore in your Bible these phrases. Look at verse 2. Who made heaven and earth. It doesn't matter if you're in heaven or on earth, God can help you. Look at verse 6. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining by day or the moon by night, God can help you. It doesn't matter, verse 8, if you're going out or you're coming in, God can help you. And it doesn't matter if it's this time or forevermore, verse 8, God can help you. Did you notice that? Heaven and earth, sun and moon, going out, coming in, now, forever. God is not bound by time or place or circumstance or situation. And this is the place where we can get that protection. When we come and worship and all of the things we do, it's like putting protection on us. When you go back out on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, you put the protection on. The spiritual protection. We can get help with the sin problem. When we read in Luke chapter 1 about how that God was going to visit Israel, not just with the birth of Christ, but also with the birth of John the Baptist, the beautiful psalm there is that the Lord will help Israel. It's in the context of helping them with the sin problem. By sending Jesus and John the Baptist. He will help us with the problems of life. I love the woman who comes to Jesus in Matthew 15. And she's got this daughter with a demon. And she says, Lord, help me. We don't cry out like that. That makes a beautiful sermon. I've wanted to do that sometimes. The people who come to Jesus and cry out. Maybe today we need some more crying out. Crying out, save me! Save us! And in Acts chapter 26 and verse 22, Paul stands and says, I stand before you having obtained help from God. Yeah, how did Paul make it through all of those things in the book of Acts? By the help of God. And we get help in times of unbelief. I love the man whose father was demon-possessed and the disciples wouldn't cast him out and couldn't cast him out because they didn't have enough faith. And the man comes to Jesus and says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I might call it the belief of the unbeliever. We all know from time to time in our life that we have some level of belief. But then there's a little bit there in there where there's some unbelief. And that's what we need the help with. That makes a great lesson just in itself. Help me to finish this off, Lord. And of course, when Jesus healed the young man of the demon, that father, yeah, he was helped with his unbelief. Help. Help. And then Hebrews 4:16, we can come to the throne of grace and receive help in time of need. What a great place to be. And even though a man is directing our minds in prayer, we can put our own into that, and we can insert into that our needs. There are people in Clarksville and Montgomery County that aren't going to help you with anything. They're not going to help you with anything. Especially the spiritual problems in life. They don't care about you. But you know who does? That high priest that sits on that throne, Hebrews 4:16, and we can go to that throne of grace. And you will get that help. And those Israelites sung that when they went up. And then turn with me to Psalm 122. Gladness. And I've had to work on this in my life. Let's all be honest. There may have been some times when we've come to worship over the years. I'd be the first one to admit it, that it's very easy to come to worship already in a soured state. And I hate to admit that kind of thing, but it does happen. It's realistic. So let's change that and let's ascend this way. Look at Psalm 122 and verse 1. Worship is a place to be glad and thankful. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of Jehovah. Our feet are standing within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, thou art builted as a city that is compacted together. Whether the tribes go up. By the way, underscore that in your Bible, because Psalm 122 verse 4 helps us to understand that this was not just simply a Jewish tradition, but it's based upon actually going up to worship God. Even the tribes of Jehovah for an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Jehovah. It's a place where I can be happy and glad. And verse 4, to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be glad. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. It's a place to be happy. Let's be thinking about that as we're on the way. It's a place to remember God's judgment. For there, in this city that I'm going up to, and by the way, Jerusalem means city of peace. Yerushalam, city of peace. And notice in Psalm 122, Jerusalem is mentioned in verse 2, and then he's going to come down and bring up peace in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. I can be at peace in the city of peace. It's a place where God's judgments will be. A throne is a place where the king sets forth the law of God. There are rules to follow. There are laws to follow. There are judgments that are going to come down on inappropriate behavior. There are rewards that are going to be given for good behavior. But God is a God of judgment. He sits on his throne. And during this time, David and then later Solomon, when the temple is built, an earthly king sat on a throne, the thrones of the house of David. That was to mean a visible place where a man is to be carrying out the throne of God that is in heaven, the law of God. It's a place to be filled with peace and love. Yerushalam, city of peace. Look at verse 6. Pray for the peace of Yerushalam. Pray for the peace of the city of peace. They shall prosper that love thee. Underscore that when we love to come and worship God, we're going to prosper. All of our relationships are going to be better. Our life is going to be better. And it begins even before we get here. It continues during the worship service. It follows us back home or wherever we might be going. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. My brethren and those, my companions, those who are going up with me, we're going to be unified. We'll talk about one of those psalms later. We're going to be unified and we're going to be at peace together. We can come out of a sinful and ugly world where there is not peace and be for a moment in a place where we can be at peace and with the God of peace. And verse 9, it's a place for the sake of the house of Jehovah our God, I will seek thy good. It's a place where we can seek the good for ourselves and for others. Worship should be a place where we are glad. Read Psalm 84 verses 1 through 12. A place where we can be glad. Studying God's Word. The psalmist says in Psalm 119 verse 111, thy testimonies are my rejoicing. Bible class should be a joy. Sermons should be a joy. Every aspect of the assembly from beginning to end should be a joy. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Jehovah. Not, oh, what a weariness it is, but I can't wait to get in the car and get up there and be encouraged by my brethren and worship my God. That needs to be what we talk about and think about. And yes, the person driving has to pay attention to the driving. I know that. But we can think about these other things as well. And I hope that we will. And not only that, but hearing gospel preaching. I love in Acts 13 and verse 48, when Paul was preaching in Antioch, he preaches a sermon. He comes back the next week. And look at what is said there among some of the audience members. And as the Gentiles heard this, heard what? Paul was preaching the word of the Lord to them, the word of God, verse 44. When they hear it, they were glad. They were glad and glorified the word of God, meaning they obeyed it. I am so glad to hear this sermon. Now I know Paul's sermons are a lot better than mine. I know that. But can you imagine hearing a sermon? I'm so glad I heard that. I want to get up and obey it. I want to get up and obey that. Do you see every aspect of the service is gladness and joy? So as we close this morning, we're going to stand in just a moment and sing that song of encouragement, Levi. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. It's a place to come and get deliverance from those things that are in the world that we need to be freed from. It's a place to get help and protection from those things in the world that we need to get help from and protection from. It's a place where we can be glad. And if we have to change our thinking and our attitude, let us do that. And I'm telling you, on the way up to the building is a great place where that can take place. There will be things in our life that will come up. There will be aches and pains. And there will be, you know, did I leave something in the oven and it's burning right now? There's going to be things. I get that. I'm not saying that we live in such a rosy world where none of that reality exists. There might be a traffic jam on I-24, Daniel Mayberry. There might be all kinds of things that throw kinks in the way. But let us be thinking about these things as we go up to worship. It will change us when we're here. It will help us to have that worship sink in better while we're here and we go out a better person. I hope over the next few weeks to learn from these great songs of ascent. Can you imagine? Just picture in your mind Jews coming from different places in Palestine, and they're all coming up for the Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles. And you hear singing. You hear singing. Nobody is. When is this going to be over with? How long is it going to take to get there? It's hot. It's hot. It's cold. It's raining. They're singing. It's often a different picture of what we may see today. Let us have that same picture in our life. We're going to sing Kneel at the Cross. Let's kneel at that cross, every one of us. And if someone still needs to kneel this morning in baptism, I'll help you to do that. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?